You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 22nd, 2020. At any moment now, they're going to resume and start the official trial and opening arguments in the impeachment trial of President Trump. Of course, before that, you had the Democrats running out to the camera saying, the Senate's not going to give us a fair trial if they don't let us do what we want. So it goes. There's now evidence of this new norovirus found in the U.S. An individual traveling from China in Seattle has a coronavirus, according to the Centers for Disease Control. At last report, they've had at least six killed in China, more than 300 sickened in one area, another 400, another 500. They still think at this time, they think it's less lethal than the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak, which led to 700-plus deaths. Tap water in the U.S. contaminated with toxic fluorinated chemicals at a higher rate than previously thought. Some of the highest levels found in Miami, Philadelphia, New Orleans, northern New Jersey, New York City suburbs. These are chemicals that are used in products like Scotchgard, Teflon, and a firefighting foam. President Trump confirming he's going to add additional countries to his travel ban. Not giving details at this point, the original travel ban, including travelers from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Syria, Yemen, Venezuela, North Korea. He said, we have that ban. We're going to extend it as an important tool of keeping Americans safe. In the meantime, the Department of Homeland Security is warning migrants traveling north through Central America as one of the latest caravans. If you get to the border, you're not going to be allowed in. Should you reach the border, you're going to be processed, quickly removed, returned, repatriated. Now, just yesterday, Mexican police clashing with hundreds of migrants trying to get into the country from Guatemala. They turned them back. Boeing is, of course, losing a lot of money since the 737 MAX fleet has been parked. And, of course, after two fatal crashes, killing all passengers and crews on board. The 737 MAX fleet, not in the air, still being processed and checked for safety. Boeing now looking for a loan of $10 billion or more to offset some of the losses. An Illinois state official confirming that non-citizens, non-U.S. citizens, voted in the 2018 election and hundreds more were improperly registered to vote. The actual breakdown of numbers, you might think, well, that's nothing. 574 non-citizens improperly registered to vote, less than 600. And out of those, about 20 actually voted. Larry, that's such a small number. But that's what they have found, what they know. How many do they not know? And this is just one state. We need voter ID. Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii accusing former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton of spreading false accusations, claiming that Gabbard is a Russian asset and says it has hurt her campaign. And Gabbard, I love this, she is suing Hillary Clinton with $50 million lawsuit for defamation. $50 million. That's nothing compared to what Bloomberg's already spent. He has already spent $250 million, $1 billion in ad campaigns to become the next president. You talk about trying to buy the presidency. There it is. Now, in 6 days, January 28th, President Trump's going to be in Wildwood, New Jersey. The last time a president visited Wildwood was 1891 when Benjamin Harrison was there. They are going to hold this at the convention center that has 7,500 seats. You want a good indicator of how this impeachment nonsense is affecting President Trump? You got it right here. 100,000 are seeking tickets. 100,000 want to get in that rally. Oh, by the way, left-wing documentary filmmaker Michael Moore said if we don't fix climate change, we don't have 4 years. We'll be done in 4 years. So you see, somebody come back from Florida, they got a knot on their head, and they say, what happened to you? I got hit in the head. Well, I see that. What happened? Well, I was walking along, and I got hit by an iguana. What? I got hit by an iguana falling out of a tree, landed right on my head, gave me a nosh on the head. What? Well, they're warning folks down in the Miami area, temperatures in the 30s and 40s, iguanas might start falling out of the trees. You better watch where you walk or wear a hard hat while you're in Florida. Or do you want the story to say, yeah, I was walking down the lane and an iguana fell right on my head. Let me have another drink.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sure you've heard that when the world is obliterated by nuclear explosions as we go to war and fight each other and overkill and destroy our planet, there will still be one living creature. Despite all the nuclear radiation and fallout and explosions, there will still be one living creature. The cockroach. They'll still be here. They'll outlive all of us, regardless of what happens. Which brings me to Hillary Clinton. But, boy, that was a sharp turn. Hope you get whiplash. She's still trying to be here. When everything else is falling apart in the Democrat Party, and everything's upside down, she's still trying to be relevant, and I'm still here, I'm still here. You haven't gotten rid of me yet, I'm still here. And, of course, she's got this four-part Hulu documentary series about her life and career. I got to get a big bag of popcorn and sit and watch that, or not. Now, if it were really an independent documentary about her life and career, I might have more of an interest. But if it's going to be a puff piece, all the parts approved and doctored by her, then, yeah, I don't know. Then again, I'm going to go and watch it anyway just so I can have something to talk about, as if I don't have enough, right? But one of the parts that she mentioned in her documentary we dealt with yesterday, and the backlash from her comments is accelerating. At one part, she took aim at Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. One excerpt said, he, talking about Bernie, was in Congress for years. This is Hillary talking. He was in Congress for years. He had one senator support him. Nobody likes him. Nobody wants to work with him. He gets nothing done. He was a career politician. It's all just baloney, and I feel so bad that people got sucked into it. When she was asked by Hollywood Reporter, is that statement still hold? I mean, you made it, the documentary still hold? She says, yes, it does. Well, now, I really have a part when she says that I feel so bad people got sucked into him and that campaign. I mean, I feel the same for those who got sucked into Hillary's campaign. But that aside, Bernie has responded now. And I like his response. It's funny. I think it's absolutely funny. But before I get to his response, other Democrats are also coming out firing back at Hillary. And on one part, Tulsi Gabbard, congresswoman from Hawaii, said it's time to grow up, you know. This isn't high school. She said we're talking about real challenges that our country needs to address, the need for real leadership to focus on them, not on what's going on in Washington and the schoolyard cliques or whatever else they may be. In other words, she's telling Hillary, grow up. I love it. Yang, another presidential contender, said for her to come back and say that nobody likes Bernie does not seem like a very helpful message. Well, that's true. Let me see. Here's some other comments. Say, Peter Dow, a past advisor to Democrats such as Clinton and John Kerry, stated the former lady's comments were, quote, profoundly wrong. He said this broadside against Bernie is profoundly wrong, especially since it echoes the erasure of his diverse coalition by pushing that narrative. We see in an essay for The Guardian, Dow and his wife wrote, Hillary Clinton perpetuates a false narrative that Bernie supporters are largely a gang of raging bros who spend all day trolling his opponents online. And for Clinton to come out rhetorical guns blazing against Sanders weeks before primary voting begins reflects misplaced priorities on the part of the Clinton camp. Well, Hillary, what do you have to say now? Well, she's apparently trying to walk them back. Appears to be walking them back, anyway. Let me see. Let me get her quotes here in front of you. I mean, she just said, Bernie, nobody likes him. He was a career politician, never got anything done. And then she texted on her remarks. Well, let me see. Got so much material here. She she pointed out these remarks. I thought, this is on her tweet, I thought everyone wanted my authentic, unvarnished views. Did you ask Hillary, give me your authentic, unvarnished views about Bernie? Did you? If you did, you and I need to have a talk. I didn't do it. Quentin, you're running the board in there. Did you call Hillary and say you want her? You didn't ask for it either. Well, I guess, as she said, I thought everyone wanted. Then she added, but to be serious, the number one priority for our country and world is retiring Trump. And I, as always have, I will do whatever I can to support our nominee. So she is backpedaling, and she's trying to say, look, I'll support the nominee. But she is not willing at this point to endorse Bernie. She says just too early. When she was asked, would you endorse and campaign for him? She said, I'm not going there yet. We're still in a very vigorous primary season. And I will say, however, it's not only him, it's the culture around him, it's his leadership team, it's his prominent supporters, it's his online Bernie bros, and their relentless attacks on lots of his competitors, particularly women. And I really hope people are paying attention to that, because it should be worrisome that Bernie has permitted this culture, not only permitted, but seems to be very much supporting it. So she's walking it back, and yet not exactly walking it back. Kind of acknowledge, yeah, I said that. I maybe shouldn't have gone that far, but I thought you wanted my authentic, unvarnished views. And she's slamming Sanders on allegations of sexism because, if you recall, Senator Elizabeth Warren has claimed that Sanders told her in a private conversation a couple of years ago, a woman can't win president. A woman will never be president. Sanders said I never said those words. And in fact, they came up at their last debate. And Warren, after the debate, went straight to him. Sanders stuck out his hand to shake hands with her, and she refused to shake hands. She said, I think you just called me a liar on national TV. And he said, well, what? Let's don't talk about it here. I don't know if Sanders said that a woman can never be elected president, but obviously, if he's anything close to that, Warren's going to interpret it that, or she's going to make it up anyway. Maybe she went to the Indian reservation where she grew up and dug up some old coyote bones and decided to take a look at them. And they pointed out that Sanders didn't like women. Who knows? Who knows where these people are going? Some, they are so out to lunch right now. I had a story earlier in the opening monologue that Joe Biden has said, this, if you missed this, Joe Biden had said, if I'm president and ICE agents, Immigration Customs Enforcement agents, if they go to arrest and deport an illegal because he's been charged with drunk driving, I'm going to fire those ICE agents. I'm going to fire them. He said, you're going to get fired. You're fired, in fact, if you do that. You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony. Well, now, drunk driving is a felony, repetitive, and it leads to death in many cases, and you may or may not end up getting free on bail and are not facing time in jail. But Joe Biden, so hard, trying so hard to get to the left side of the fence, along with Bernie and the others, saying, I will fire ICE agents if they carry out immigration law on a guy that's been convicted of drunk driving. Of course, Bernie Sanders and other Democrats have said, we're all about decriminalizing illegal immigrants anyway. All right, back to this feud between Hillary and Bernie. It doesn't take much for me to get distracted, like, because this stuff is all around me. I mean, it's, on one hand, it's kind of like walking through a minefield. I never know when I'm going to step on something that I need to deal with right then. And then again, it's like walking through a canyon and you see nuggets of gold everywhere. Do I pick that one up or no, there's a bigger one over there. No, I'll go get this one. Democrats and the leftists write this program for me every day, and I thank them for it. They give me so much material, I can't get all of it in. Often in putting this program together, it is a matter of not what I include, but what I exclude, because I don't have time for it. And so when I get a day like this, when you've got Clinton, once again, trying to make herself relevant, making her remarks, coming out with her documentary, attacking Bernie, and now other Democrats now turning on Hillary. I love the fact that Gabbard, the congresswoman from Hawaii, said, this isn't high school. Grow up. Because she sees Hillary acting just like that. So Bernie, he had a response. And I told you, I like Bernie's response. When Hillary claims that nobody likes him, Sanders said, well, let's clear the air on that. On a good day, my wife likes me. That's good. That's good, Bernie. I'm going to give you credit for that. Nobody likes Bernie. Well, that's not right. On a good day, my wife likes me. But Hillary is doing what she can to keep her name in front of us. And yet the other time she wants to hide. And in fact, she is trying to claim that any ties to disgraced film mogul Harvey Weinstein, Weinstink, taking all of his money and so forth. She said, how would we have known about his sexual misconduct? We didn't know anything about it. Well, actually, as she's promoting her new Hulu series, she was asked about that past relationship with Weinstink. And she said, how could we have known? He raised money for me. He raised it for Obama's, Democrats in general. How would we have known? We didn't know. Well, Ronan Farrow, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who helped expose that, reported in his book that Clinton's staff attempted to discourage him from looking into her tie to Harvey. He said, I got a call from Clinton's FLAC and said, by the way, we know the big story you're on. It's a concern for us. They did not want him writing anything about Hillary having any relationships, monetary or otherwise, with Harvey Weinstein. They wanted their distance. So they knew at that point what he was doing and why he might be exposed. Of course, Hillary and all the rest of them took all that money from Harvey. We're all glad to take it when he was in charge of the hen yard, literally. And in fact, in 2017, actress Lena Dunham said she warned the Clinton campaign of how Weinstein was preying on women. She said, I just want you to know Harvey's a rapist. This is going to come out at some point. But Hillary said, well, we'll just take the money. We're good. We're good. Yeah, the Democrats and their hypocrisy gets them every time. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alan Dershowitz on saying where we stand on this impeachment case right now and how in the world could the Democrats come up with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress as impeachable offenses. That's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've been spending the last 2 days with dusty books going back to the 18th and 19th centuries, reading Blackstone and reading the debates over the Constitution and reading the trial of Andrew Johnson. And I've come to the firm conclusion that the two elements of impeachment directed against President Trump are unconstitutional. The framers would have rejected abuse of power, would have rejected obstruction of Congress. They rejected things like it, maladministration. They didn't want to turn the United States into a British parliamentary system where Congress controls the executive and where a prime minister or a president can be voted out of office by a simple majority vote of the legislature. So they created very strict criteria, treason, bribery, other high crimes and misdemeanors.
That's Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law School professor emeritus, on his view of these charges facing President Trump at this point. And we're going to get into a little bit more detail of what he had to say about the Constitution reference high crimes and misdemeanors in a moment. But he says what they've done here and what the founders were trying to make sure they did, as he clearly stated, we're not going to be like England where you can suddenly decide, you know what? The House members don't like the president, so let's just get rid of him, dump him. You can't do that in this country. And, of course, that's what the Democrats have been trying to do. They have been trying to reject the will of the American people that voted for Donald Trump. Do not start that argument with me again that, well, the popular vote, Hillary won. You win by the Electoral College as described in the U.S. Constitution. And the Democrats had no problem with winning that way when they were pretty convinced that Trump might actually have enough people voting for him, but he will never win the electoral votes, and so they were confident of victory. And when it doesn't go that way, then they start complaining, well, let's get rid of the House, let's get rid of the Electoral College, let's go popular vote. And they swell the voting ranks with illegals who are not even Americans voting. That's why they don't want voter ID. But House impeachment manager, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, he says Alan Dershowitz is not a reputable constitutional law expert. Really? I guess Adam Schiff is really a smart guy, more so than anyone else. Alan Dershowitz is well known for that. So let's go again to his comments on the high crimes and misdemeanors.
Other high crimes and misdemeanors means crimes like treason and bribery. They don't have to be technical crimes. If a person commits bribery, but he's out of the jurisdiction or the statute of limitations is over, he can still be impeached. But they have to be criminal-like conduct akin to treason and bribery. That's why the whole debate over witnesses is premature. First, the Senate should decide, is there a case? If this were a criminal case, I'd be making a motion to dismiss. Say somebody is indicted for dishonesty, and they have a whole list of things he did. I would go into court and say dishonesty is not a crime. And I would go to the Senate and say that abuse of power is not a crime. And so you don't need witnesses, if my view prevails. You don't need documents. You get right to the vote, and you acquit.
And you acquit. And they have now restarted in D.C. We'll bring you up to speed after this break.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's time to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks a tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street. Then
this is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
An angry mob is at the gate, but the United States Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. So it's time for the adults in the room to have their seat at the table. Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats have had their turn. The sham is over. A fair trial starts now.
That is part of a commercial now being released and used by the GOP, pushing for more support for senators running on the GOP ticket to make sure that Democrats do not get control of the Senate. And it points out in that ad, this is why the Senate was created. And we already heard from Democrats that if they don't get Trump this time, and he gets reelected, they'll impeach him again. They'll start all over again. For whatever reason, they will do it. They have made it clear they would do that. That is why this election coming up is not just about maintaining the White House, but also maintaining the Senate and gaining control of the House. That ad, by the way, is I think it's outstanding. You can hear, actually you see the entire thing at my Facebook page right now. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook. Scroll down, you'll see that impeachment ad. And I encourage you to watch it. I think you're going to find it fascinating. It's going to anger the leftists to no end because it points out a very simple line, as you just heard a moment ago. They never wanted him to be president, never thought it would be possible. I'm sorry, that's all part that you did get here, but it's all part of the ad. What you heard in this one, an angry mob is at the gate, And the U.S. Senate has the watch. The Senate exists for moments like this. That's exactly true. And right now, they have Congressman Adam Schiff, the lead impeachment manager, as he's called, presenting the Democrats' opening case. They have 3 days now to present it to the Senate. And after that, the Trump legal team will also have 24 hours over 3 days for their opening arguments, possibly going to be Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday. Saturday? Yep, that's right. Senators will have to work Saturday. They'll have to be locked up in the Senate. And keep in mind, while they're there, they cannot text. They cannot have their phones. They can't do anything. All they can do is sit there and listen. One Democrat senator said yesterday, he said it was like just sitting on my tractor out in the field. Nothing to do but just sit there. Well, I can understand that. But what we have going on is they start their arguments, and you look at what happened last night as they battled for 12 hours, early morning hours, before they finally gaveled it to a close as they went through procedures and rules and so forth. And eventually, the rules were adopted as Republicans proposed them on a 53-47 party line vote at 1:40 a.m. Eastern Time. And now they're back at it. Now they're going through the presentation of the case. But we've already heard from members of that management group. You can also call them prosecutors. They're not really going to care about any evidence. They're just going to go with what they believe is true, and that is Trump is guilty. And in fact, one of them that's serving as one of the managers, Jerry Nadler, Democrat in New York, he basically had said back in 2018, talked about impeaching Trump. In 2018. So last night, he started saying the president is on trial in the Senate, but the Senate is on trial in the eyes of the American people, and basically said, if you don't vote to convict Trump, you senators are voting for a cover-up. And Nadler also called out the Republicans with these words.
They complain about process, but they do not seriously contest any of the allegations against the president. They insist that the president has done nothing wrong, but they refuse to allow the evidence and hear from the witnesses. They will not permit the American people to hear from the witnesses. And they lie, and lie, and lie, and lie.
So there you had Nadler calling out the senator, saying you're going to participate in a cover-up if you don't convict Donald Trump, and you lie, and you lie, and you lie. The White House counsel said, we've been respectful of the Senate, we've made our arguments to you, and you don't deserve, and we don't deserve, what just happened. Mr. Nadler came up here and made false allegations against our team. He made false allegations against all of you. He accused you of a cover-up. He's been making false allegations against the president, the only one who should be embarrassed. The only one who should be embarrassed is Nadler. By the way, you've addressed the U.S. Senate. He said, this is the U.S. Senate. You're not in charge here. It's about time we bring this power trip in for a landing. So said the White House counsel. And then Chief Justice Roberts from the U.S. Supreme Court, the Chief Justice is sitting to preside over this event. He cannot vote on witnesses to be called or not called. He can't ask questions himself. He can only serve to watch over parliamentary procedures and things of that nature. But he also decided to make a few remarks about how some of the members of the House were acting as they presented their case. And I'm telling you, the remarks were aimed at Democrats, but he tried to roll in the Republicans into it as well without just cause, in my opinion. But here are the words of Chief Justice Roberts.
I think it is appropriate at this point for me to admonish both the House managers and the President's counsel in equal terms to remember that they are addressing the world's greatest deliberative body. One reason it has earned that title is because its members avoid speaking in a manner and using language that is not conducive to civil discourse. In the 1905 Swain trial, a senator objected when one of the managers used the word pettifogging, and the presiding officer said the word ought not to have been used. I don't think we need to aspire to that high a standard, but I do think those addressing the Senate should remember where they are.
Chief Justice Roberts reminding them you are in the U.S. Senate. Now, you heard him reference pettifogging, talking about in 1905 a senator objected when one of the House managers used the term pettifogging. What exactly is that? Well, it's worrying too much, making too much about details that are minor or just not important. In other words, finding the smallest little scrap of anything and trying to make this a Supreme Court case. So Roberts is saying you got to stay away from that. You got to get away from this name calling and everything of that nature. But I'm really upset that he kind of spread the blame on both sides, because the Republicans were not doing that. What you had is from the House Democrats as they come in with their zeal, their anger, the naked anger is unveiled. But the Chief Justice decided he would try to put both in the same box. To that extent, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, Republican, had this response.
I'm grateful to the Chief Justice. He did a good job. His demeanor was great. He maintained his patience. I thought that was unfair of him to direct that at both sets of counsels, because it felt to me like collective punishment for isolated guilt. This was the fault of the House Management Prosecution Team. Well, they were rude. They were insulting. They were demeaning, not just to the president, but to their opposing counsel and indeed to the Senate itself.
They were. I mean, when you had Nadler standing there and saying, you senators, if you don't vote, you'll be complicit in the president's cover-up. So far, I'm sad to say I see a lot of senators voting for a cover-up, voting to deny witnesses an absolutely indefensible vote, obviously a treacherous vote. That's why the Chief Justice decided to admonish, but he pointed at both of them. I'm telling you, it's much like, and maybe you've been in that situation. Maybe you were one of the ones being admonished. Maybe you and your sister or your brother got into some kind of problem, but it wasn't really your fault. It really wasn't my fault. The other one's to blame, but you got to take some of the punishment as well, even if it's a lecture. And sometimes I remember with my dad, I'd much rather have the spanking than the lecture. Boy, did that go on and on and on. Get the spanking over and be done with it. So last night, the Supreme Court justice kind of gave them each a little lecture. No spanking at this point. And now we have the impeachment trial resuming again. And Congressman Adam Schiff is still up because he's going to use all the time he can. Democrat managers have the next 3 days to present their case. And then the Trump legal team will have 24 hours over 3 days to do the same. I want to turn away from all of this, and I want to go something that's extremely tragic. And I'm going to do it because there might be a need to someone out there that needs to be aware of this and that will need help, and it could save lives, especially children. We're going to talk about the crime of filicide. Filicide. When a parent kills their own child, what pushes a parent to that point? And we have a tragic story documenting it.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
For years, I've worked with the St. Louis Crisis Nursery. That's one of many organizations that are there to help protect children. If a parent is losing it, needs some time away from the kids, I don't mean just using them as a babysitting service, then they can reach out to the St. Louis Crisis Nursery. I could give you a number, but the important thing to remember is police in the area are familiar with it. You just tell them that you need the help of the St. Louis Crisis Nursery, or somebody needs the help. And, of course, sometimes it's going to be more than that. Much more is needed to protect children. And there are various agencies all across the nation like that, and churches, and hospitals. The crime of filicide is a deliberate act of a parent killing their own child. It can refer to both to the crime and to the perpetrator. Some of the latest numbers show that children killed during infancy between 1976 and 97, fathers more likely responsible for children age 8 or older, 58% of the children killed by their mothers, 42% killed by their fathers. Parents responsible for 61% of child murders under the age of 5. It is so hard to understand. It's an unimaginable act. And you think, how and why did it get to that point? The motives sometimes also involve suicide. The parent's going to take their own life as well. If the parent doesn't, or even if they do, they later find there's been evidence of depression or psychosis or prior mental health care for the parent, either given or not given, should have been treated, didn't get treated, got off the meds, whatever the issue was. And often there's really no clear understanding. What happened in Arizona the other day is just that disturbing. I want to read you the details of this, condensed and not full details, but the report from the police are that the 22-year-old mother suffocated her children, smothered them, singing to them as she did it. Police say that she began with placing her hand over her one-year-old daughter's mouth. And the three-year-old knew there was a problem and was shouting no. The three-year-old son was hollering no and hitting at his mom while she continued singing, smothering his one-year-old sister. Mom admits, the three-year-old was screaming and shouting at me. Then she left that baby's body in a back bedroom and had to chase the three-year-old through the house. But before she got to him, relatives arrived. They played with that boy and the other infant for a while. I don't know why they weren't asking about the other. Maybe she told them that the baby's asleep. And then she took the three-year-old into the bedroom under the pretense of changing his underwear. And according to police, he placed the boy on the floor, straddled him, smothered him with her hands until he stopped struggling, all the time singing as he scratched at her chest and pinched her. And then she fed the seven-month-old, waited until that child went to sleep, and while relatives were still waiting in the other room, smothered that child. Family members say the mother has a history of meth use and had been acting strangely lately. They don't know drugs were involved, a psychotic episode. Obviously, a mental issue, be it created by drugs or whatever, some kind of psychosis that either had not been dealt with, but apparently there were signs and nothing was done. That's the issue here. As terrific as this tragedy is, and there's no way those of us who love our children can imagine doing anything like this, not to just one but three children, and doing it one after another, singing to them. And there's no way to understand what was going on in her mind as she was doing it. But if you feel that you're at a risk to hurt your children, reach out. Call the police. Call the hospital. Call a church. Tell them that you're worried. And folks will respond. They better respond for the sake of the children. And if you know someone that might be on that verge, do not simply say it's going to be okay. Do not let those kids be at risk if you think there's a legitimate concern. And, of course, as we said, in some cases, these are parents that will not only kill the children but take their own life. There is no one answer for all of it, but there is a chance to save many of them if those who are contemplating it reach out for help. And if those around realize that a dangerous situation is developing, they reach out for help. If only someone had done that, these three children would be alive and laughing and giggling today like children do. I thank you, as always, for listening and sharing the program, letting your friends and neighbors know about it. I truly appreciate your support for me and my sponsors. Of course, we will be back tomorrow, same time, same station. So please, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.